Many of you know we have a cottage at Mahaffey Camp that something that we, especially when we were living in Pittsburgh, it was kind of our country getaway. Now that we live in Warren, I'm not sure what to call it because we're kind of already out in the country. But you know that one of the things Jana really enjoys, often go to the scrapbooking retreat. And sorry, children are dismissed at this time to children's church. It looks like they've already exited, but Jana really enjoys going down to the scrapbooking retreat, and usually they do once or twice a year. And last fall, I believe it was last fall, she was there and was getting ready for the weekend, but it was starting to get cold. So the first thing she did was went in to try to start our little gas heater, and to no avail. And I just assumed she wasn't doing something right. I tried to walk her through everything. And finally, someone else that we knew that was down there checked it out, and the tanks were totally empty. Both propane tanks were totally empty, which Jana was not real happy about when she discovered that. But what I found out was when we'd only had the cottage for a few years, the tanks, we don't use a lot of it. So when we hooked it up, I thought it was on an auto fill, that they would just come and check it once a year and make sure that it was topped off. That's not the case. We actually have to call them. And so I know that now. But, you know, what we found was that weekend, if it wasn't for the fact that Jana had a little electric heater, she and the other women staying in the cottage would have been pretty cold, because there was no connection to the propane that was needed for the heat. You know, that I think of that account, and I think maybe you've had those times. I know the power has been going out a lot this week, and it's one of those things you don't notice it until it's gone. You don't notice in those moments that you flicked on the switch, or if you're like me, even after the power's out and I know it's out, I still flick on the switch. You're looking for it, you're counting on it, and it's not there. Today we're going to be talking about the importance of maintaining not a connection to the fuel, not a connection to the electricity, but in the spiritual life, our connection to Christ. Because at the heart of the Christian life is our connection to Jesus Christ in a very deep personal relationship with Him. That is our source of strength. It's our source of how we live the Christian life and all that we're called to do in the Christian life. If we don't have that connection to Jesus, we miss it. And the power is not there when we need it. Or His voice and His leading, His guidance isn't there when we need it. And if you're like me at different times in my life, I think often we fall into this trap of wanting to make sure that connection is on, that we're connected to Christ in those moments that we need the guidance. Or in that moment that we think we need the power for God to give us in that moment. And yet Christ wants us to maintain that connection to Him at all times. This is the passage we're going to be looking at today in John 15. is a passage we could probably take weeks on. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 8, but specifically verses 4 and 5 today, as we just talk about what that really means, to abide in Christ, to maintain that connection to Christ that is living and vital. But before we do that, I want to give you a little bit of an assessment, and some of you panic as soon as you hear the assessment because that sounds a lot like a test, and this is something you don't have to share the results, but I want you in your own mind, if you're struggling there too, just write it down. I want to encourage you to just answer some questions, four questions that really I think can give you a snapshot of where you are in your connection with Christ. And where you are in your spiritual health and vitality. And I just want to use this as kind of a, hopefully, something that might be motivating to you to say, you know I need more. I want more. Four questions. And you can kind of, on a scale of 1 to 10, again, I'm not going to put anyone on the spot. You just kind of think about this yourself. But answer this question on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being low, 10 being you've nailed it. I mean, you're doing great in this area. 1, I'm aware of God's presence with me throughout the day. I'm aware of God's presence with me throughout the day. 1 to 10. 2, I'm aware of God's voice and seek to obey His word. You know, some of you, the thought, and you hear this in the news sometimes, the idea of hearing God's voice, some people get nervous about that idea of hearing God speak, and yet Jesus said His sheep will know His voice. There's a very simple truth in the Christian life that we get in tune with Christ, not only through his word, but the Holy Spirit begins to speak to us and guide us, not only in his word, but that still small voice. So two, I'm aware of God's voice and seek to obey his word. Third, I'm becoming more like Jesus in character. That you can look at your life and say there's been some change, and that you attribute that change to Jesus and what he's done in you and for you. And four, I'm actively walking with Jesus in mission. So it's not only connecting to Christ to where he's starting to create change in us and create his character and his holiness, his purity coming out of our life, but that we're also connecting with him and walking with him in mission, doing the things that Jesus did and embracing that in our life, doing the work that he has called us to. I would encourage you, I'm not going to put anyone on the spot right now of how you scored. I mean, that would be 0 to 40. Wherever you're at on that, I would encourage you to talk to someone about that, someone that you feel comfortable with, that you talk about spiritual things. And if you don't have that person, call me, call one of the leaders here at the church. But it's my prayer for you, and the reason we're doing that is not to make you feel bad spiritually. My hope is by looking at that, taking a snapshot of where you are, it's like checking your vital signs. When you go into the hospital, you shouldn't feel bad if the doctor takes your blood pressure and takes all the statistics. You understand that you need to hear those vital signs. They need to see those vital signs to see how healthy you really are. And I just encourage you today to let that be kind of a snapshot of testing your vital signs of where you're at in your walk with God. And let this be something that motivates you to want more. And we're going to be looking at John 15, verses 1 through 8. And I believe these are Jesus' words that speak of that vital connection, that walking in intimacy with him. And really all the things that we just addressed in that assessment, really, I believe, flow out of this passage. But you read with me or follow along in John 15, verses 1 through 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear, or every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray that today that Lord, that we would not be caught up by trivial details in this passage or just things that might be distracting us in this moment. But Lord, may we truly see in your word and in these words, Lord, just how critical it is to have that vital connection to you, Jesus. Lord, may you be alive in our hearts, in our lives. And we just pray that in this moment, Lord, that if there are things that we might need to let go of, or things that we might need to do in our walk with you, Lord, to develop that connection with you, Lord, that we might know your strength and know your voice and know your power at work in us. Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would bring those things to our attention this morning as we study your word. And Lord, help us to make as a high priority in our heart and our lives, Lord, to maintain our connection with you at all times. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to encourage you to look at verse 4 and 5 again, and these are the words that we're primarily focusing on. Some of your translations may say, remain in me. In the ESV that I'm preaching from, it says, abide in me. And the idea of abide is often kind of the idea. It sounds a lot like the abode, your home. And let's go ahead and read those verses, and let's talk about what that really means to abide in Christ. Verse 4 says, abide in me and I in you. This is Jesus speaking. Jesus is not only saying this to the disciples, he's saying this to each one of us today. Jesus looks at you by name, he knows you by name, and he looks at you and says to you, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. You know, some of us that were down at Crescent Park when we were tearing out the brush along the side of the river, if you haven't driven down, you can see that even on the other side of the river. It's been an incredible improvement in not only the view from Crescent Park looking that way, but even looking across the river to that location. You know, a lot of the stuff we pulled out were vines. Some of them were, as we discovered late, about 5 minutes too late, we also discovered was poison ivy. And I know Dallas, picked the wrong day to wear shorts in the poison ivy. But, you know, that idea of a vine, you know, I think often in today's world, we don't all live in the farm or live in a place where we see the life of a vine in here. And this is the idea of a vineyard. And throughout Scripture, we see this picture of a vineyard. And we understand that the vine and those roots are the source of life. And that at any point, any of those branches becomes disconnected from the vine, there's no life. It'll wither and it will die. You know, theologians want to argue about the implications of that. And our focus today really is getting to that basic question in your life and a very practical question. If Jesus is the vine and he is the source of life, what does it mean for me to make or to abide in him, to maintain that connection to him? Because he is the source of life, and if I'm going to live the Christian life, I need to make sure that I'm connected to Jesus. That word translated abide, or in many of your translations to remain, can mean to remain, to stay. I like what in the Message, Eugene Peterson's The Message paraphrase uses the phrase to make your home in, to make your home in something or in someone. To continue, to endure. And there's both an aspect of location and there's an aspect of time in that word. And the idea of location, it's the place where I stand. Like I'm going to remain here in this physical location. And so when we say we're going to abide in Jesus, we're making sure that we are staying connected to him. It's maintaining that physical connection of being connected to Christ, our Savior. But we also, this verse, or that word also carries this issue of time. And the issue of time being that it's not just something you do once. And I honestly, I think this is a profound issue that I think is critically lost in many churches today. So many times I think we focus on one moment decision to follow Christ, that we forget that when we make the decision to follow Christ, we're connecting with him, and that is something that continues on, and we need to be nurturing that connection and developing that connection to him, because he is the source of life. It's not something that we look back and say, yes, I committed my life to follow Christ 10 years ago or a year ago. I made the decision to connect with Christ, and he is my source of life, and I'm going to maintain my connection to him. We're making our home in him. We're making the commitment that beyond anything else, we're going to stay connected to Jesus. You know, that vine, we had quite a bit of pile of brush and stuff that we cut down at Crescent Park. And had the public works not come and gathered that pile, what would have happened to that pile after a few days? It would have gotten pretty nasty, because it would have started dying. Because everything that we had cut had been cut off and was piled up to be, in this case, not burnt, but to be shredded up in the mulch. At least something good could come out of all that. But, you know, in the idea of this passage, we are told that we have to maintain our connection to Jesus. We need to abide in him, make our home in him. I referenced Eugene Peterson's The Message a little bit ago, and I just want to read verses 4 through 8, or actually 4 through 6 from The Message. Jesus looks at us and he says, live in me. Make your home in me, just as I do in you. In the same way that a branch can't bear grapes by itself, but only by being joined to the vine, you cannot bear fruit unless you are joined with me. I am the vine and you are the branches. When you're joined with me and I with you, the relation, intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated, you cannot produce a thing. I love that phrase, intimate and organic. Organic is natural. When, you know, so much of our Christian life, we focus so much on, well, we have to be a part of a study. And it's important to get connected into a Bible study, to be in a place where we can learn. But sometimes we get this idea that it's not God's word or God's voice and his power at work in us, but that we're going to read the right book, we're going to find the right Bible teacher, or we're going to find the right something that's going to make us alive in Christ. And the only thing that can make us alive in Christ is his Spirit living in us and coming to a place in our life that we are surrendered and letting his Spirit work in us and through us. We have to, too often I think we focus on things that are tangents that may be important, but it's not the heart issue. The heart issue is, are we not only connected to Christ, that we made that one-time decision to put our trust in Christ as Savior, but that we made that decision to say, my life is his, and I want Christ in me, and I want my life to be standing on that foundation of Christ in my life, so that Christ, it's Christ in us and us in Christ, that it's a description of intimacy and relationship that we have with Jesus. I know I've shared before that Jack and Betty Hill, and I may have already said this, but I always have to clarify. Someone in previous church thought I said Benny Hill once when I described that, but it's a totally different person. Jack and Betty were my dad's youth pastors. They're youth directors in a little Methodist church where he grew up. And for me and my two sisters, they were like adopted grandparents growing up. And they were two of the most godly people I've ever met. And when I could hear them talk about the relationship with Jesus, it wasn't head knowledge. It wasn't, and some of you are thinking about specific people in your life right now that you can think of, that Jesus, it was just, Jesus was real to them. And it just flowed out of their heart and out of their life. You know, I talked to Betty and she'd talk about her time in the morning in Jesus' presence, just like she was sitting and talking with her husband, Jack, because it was real. It was intimate. And she invested her life into knowing Jesus more. And out of that, God used Jack and Betty to go minister to inner city Philadelphia kids every summer. Some of you remember the Jacobs Brothers, Southern Gospel Group. They would go and work at their camp every summer. And they would do crafts and work with these kids that they would never have typically paid Jack and Betty any attention. But because of their love for Jesus, that love for those young people that they invested in, it just flowed out of their life. And they would spend 10 months out of the year building crafts, making crafts, to then go down and invest in these inner city kids in this camp. It all flowed out of their intimate relationship with Jesus. I want to ask you, have you come to that point in your own life that you know that you've connected to Christ in that way? That Jesus is your source of life? One of the things that I think is helpful to answer that for each of us is understanding the implications for Jesus sharing this story, for any of the Jewish people that would have been hearing this. And again, all the disciples were Jewish. They would have heard this through a very clear understanding of their relationship to God. God being the Father and Israel, their nation, God's chosen nation, being the vine. Something we see all throughout the Old Testament, that Israel represented the vine. And right in verse 1 in this passage, Jesus is now claiming to be the true vine. If we're going to make our home in Christ, one of the things we need to understand is that we have to find our identity in him. Any good Jewish person, their identity rested solely in their relationship to Israel, God's chosen people. And for us as Christians, Jesus, I believe, is making that point clear, that our identity, for any Christian, our identity rests solely on our relationship with Jesus Christ. I want to ask you, what shapes your identity? What shapes your identity? Is it your work? Maybe a hobby or an interest? Is it your family? Sometimes good things can shape our identity. Some of you may have gone through that crisis of sending kids outside of the home and your whole identity was revolved around being mom or dad. And now when the kids move to another chapter in their life, that's a different different stage, different chapter. And you have to really answer that question again, is what is the basis of my identity and who I am? Is it the roles that I fulfill, or is at the heart of who I am, is it that I am a child of God and I'm in relationship with Jesus Christ, my King? I want to ask you, if someone were to really get a microscope and look at your life, look at your calendar, look at your actions, look at your words, your Facebook posts, your Instagram posts, whatever social media, if you don't understand that, it's okay. But those social things, those social web presence, that's an extension of who you are. And I think often the scary thing is often it is such a pull, because that's, we put out this picture of who we are on Facebook or on these things, and we don't typically put the stuff that wouldn't represent us well. And yet sometimes we forget our testimony. And we might say things or put something on Facebook that really doesn't reflect who we are in Christ. I want to ask you, if someone looked at your life and looked at those things, your attitude, your actions, the things that you do out on the web, would they look at your life and say, that's a person that's connected to Jesus? I want to ask, are you finding your identity in Him? That beyond any role or any hat, any role you fulfill or any hat that you wear, that your relationship to Christ is the foundation of who you are. The other way of looking at this too is that we understand that Christ is our source of strength. And that when we rely on Christ and that connection, we understand that He is our source of life. In verse 5, it says again, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do, is it some things? Nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You know, we say that, and many of you could quote that, and many of you know those words, and many of you are very familiar with those passages, and yet, you know, we all can fall into a temptation, I believe, in two different ways, in which we try to live the Christian life apart from Christ. One of the things we do is we try to do that with character. And some of you may approach even what you're hearing now, and the idea of a sermon or Bible teaching is self-improvement. That if I just go out and implement this and try harder, that somehow I'm gonna improve my character. I'll try to act more like Jesus or be more like Jesus. And yet, the reality is, if we try to do those things apart from a living relationship with Jesus Christ, it's only going to lead to frustration. One of the things that I'm greatly concerned that early in my ministry, as I taught the Word of God, often I would highlight the things that we ought to be doing in the Christian life and didn't spend enough time in talking about the power to do it. And if we don't talk about the real living presence of Christ in our hearts and our lives, which is the very Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit coming to live inside of us, if we don't understand that and we don't focus and invest in that relationship with Him, that we understand that He comes to live in us, His Spirit comes to live inside of us, if we don't make that investment and make sure that we keep that relationship as our number one priority in our life, but instead go out and just try harder, you're just going to get frustrated. And maybe you've experienced that frustration. But we need to remember that apart from Christ, we can do nothing. We need to focus on nurturing the relationship. The vine or the branch doesn't have to think about producing grapes. The branch, as long as it's connected to the vine, will bear grapes. If we maintain our connection with Jesus and walk in intimate relationship with Him, we will be fruitful. And that's the passage, what this passage is highlighting for each of us. Paul, in Galatians 2:20, Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Some of you, it's not in character, but some of you, it might be in ministry. Or maybe you don't call it ministry, but you have a list of things that you do for God. And that's great. That's great to have things that you want to do for God. And yet, if it's not flowing out of your relationship with Him, and you're doing those things in your own strength and your own power, you're not only going to be burnt out, but you're not going to be effective, because what did Jesus say? Apart from me, you can do nothing. Our number one focus needs to be maintain the relationship so that God's Spirit can work in us and through us, and that He can use us to be a blessing to others. Today, I really want to just focus on that simple truth. And yet that simple and profound truth of how do we maintain that type of relationship with Jesus? If that is the number one thing I need to do in the Christian life, is just maintain my relationship with Jesus, how do I go about that? How do I nurture that relationship? Some of these things I've shared before, and they're things that I'm learning and reworking in my own life. I want to ask you, how do you begin your day? Because I think one of the most critical things in our living the Christian life is that we need to let our first thought be on Him. Let our first thought be on God. Too often we get so caught up with other things, and people have said that, I've actually read statistics recently that now it's not, there's statistics of the first thing people do. You used to be brushing your teeth or getting up and having breakfast. One of the things top in that list now is checking Facebook. I'm not trying to pick on Facebook today. Facebook can be a good thing. If it flows out of your life and your testimony in Christ. But I want to ask you, what is your first thing that you focus on, that you dwell on in your life? That's why I think it's so important, and I know it's been taught here in this church many times, the importance of developing a quiet time, a time of opening up God's Word and getting before Him and listening for the Holy Spirit's voice. And that being done in the morning can help set that tone. Some of you may have a pace that you need to do that a little later in the day. While it may not be ideal, there are ways of still focusing and centering your thoughts on Him first. Think of a scripture first thing in the morning that is central to what God is doing in your heart and your life in that moment. Or think of a simple prayer. But somehow center your focus and your thoughts on Jesus the first thing when you wake. And in the morning, develop that quiet time, whether it's in the morning and flowing out of that time, or whether it's later in the day, have that time where you're spending time in God's Word, studying God's Word, not just to know about Him, but to grow in that relationship with Him. Some of the other things that I have on the list here is mini retreats. I know I talked about that last year, of what I mean by that. It doesn't mean you pack, but Find 5, 10 minutes a day, or at different times throughout your day, that you can use that as a time of prayer and just reconnecting with God. Sometimes I think we've put so much focus on that first time in the day where we connect with Christ, that then by the end of the day, we've kind of moved on and forgotten His presence. And by setting times, whether it's the drive to and from work, it's kind of perfect for me. It's about 10 minutes for me to go from the house to the church. So, and I usually make that trip a couple times a day. So often I'll use that time as a time to connect in prayer, and a time of just connecting with Christ, turning the music off, turning whatever it is off, to be able to connect with Him. But find times like that fit into your schedule. And one of the most powerful things I believe you can do is find times for reflection. Remember the end of Psalm 139, David prays that honest prayer of asking God to search him and to know him, to test him and try him. What if each day you had a time at the end of your day to look back and say, Jesus, how did we do today? Did I maintain my life source with you? Did I maintain my connection with you? Or are there things that maybe I need to confess? All of that, those are more practical suggestions, but all of that flows out of some critical steps for each of us. And some of you, if we go back to that assessment, if you know that you're here today and you know that you didn't score real high on your relationship with Christ and how healthy you would say your relationship with Christ is, and some of you are here and you've never even entered into that relationship with Christ, and I encourage you to talk to me, talk to someone else about having that living relationship with Him. But I want to ask you, just in closing, I want to highlight three very specific steps. One, we need to understand that we need to recognize our need. Recognize our need for more of Jesus. Don't be satisfied with a prayer you prayed 10, 20, 30 years ago. Want more of Jesus for today. That what you had in your walk with Christ yesterday is something to celebrate and to remember, but we need to want Him today and search for Him today. recognize our need to face whatever God has on our agenda for the week. We can't face it without Him. We need to recognize our need for more of Jesus. We also need to understand the importance of surrender, not just once, but daily, being surrendered to Him so that the Holy Spirit can work through us. And then we also need to understand the role of sacrifice. While our focus is to maintain that relationship with Him, one of the things that often happens is that when we sacrifice other things to invest in that relationship, God blesses that. Now, I want to ask you, when is the last time maybe you sacrificed a TV show or sacrificed something else that you would do during a time just to get into God's Word and to spend time with your Savior? In Psalm 63 that we read earlier this morning, David said that he earnestly was seeking after God. I want to ask you, are you earnestly, with energy, seeking for more of Christ in your life? Sacrifice means that there might mean that we have to let go of something, let go of some TV, or let go of some time on Facebook, let go of maybe a little extra sleep, so that we have time to really be with Him. And one thing I don't have on the screen, but I think the last critical step is start. If you know there's something God has already put on your heart and your mind today of saying, you know, this is something I need to do. This is how God wants me to respond to this message today. Don't put it off, but start today. Take a step of obedience today, because the more we walk in obedience, the more we train our ear to hear His voice, and the more we train our life to know His presence and to walk with Him. So I want to encourage you today as we close, just again, recognize your need for Christ. Be willing to surrender. Be willing to sacrifice and start today. Take that first step today, whatever God has put in front of you, so that you might grow closer to Him and maintain that deep, intimate relationship with Jesus. Will you pray with me as the musicians come? Dear Heavenly Father, we are grateful, Lord, that You don't call us to live a life on our own strength. Lord, this message, while it might come across as harsh, the reality is this is a message of promise. Lord, that when we maintain our connection with You, Jesus, Lord, we can do anything. Apart from You, we can do nothing, but in You, we can do all things. And Lord, we just pray that today, that Your Holy Spirit, even as we sing these final words, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit would be free to move in this place, speak to each heart. Lord, draw us to that place of surrender. Lord, may we be willing to sacrifice, Lord, to invest in our relationship with You. And Lord, may You just at least, every one of us, give us that one thing that we need to do today and in the coming days to grow closer to You. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.